Proverbs 30, and we're going to read from verse 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11, it says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives." Down to verse number 17. "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Come with me to Proverbs 20, please. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. It says this: "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Now come with me to Proverbs 23, just for a final reading. And as I mentioned, I will refer to other scriptures as we move along, but Proverbs 23, and again, this is a little bit like the last one. I like references like this if you want to remember them. Proverbs 20:20 is what we just read. We're now going to read Proverbs 23, verse 23. Proverbs 23:23, it reads like this: "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." But I particularly want that statement, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Now, as I've considered this subject, my mind has continually gone to the book of Proverbs. You know, last week we addressed the subject of social media in particular. This week we're going to continue on that subject in a sense, and we're going to look at the topic of gaming, computer gaming. And we want to just gain some balance and some understanding in relation to this topic, and I trust that it will be of a help to you as you live your Christian life. Now, this is applicable not only to young people, but to all of us tonight. Just as social media was the topic of social media, it is applicable to every one of us on screen tonight. And so we all need to be attentive to the Word of God in relation to these subjects. But as I have considered the subject of social media and gaming, what has particularly come to my mind this week is the book of Proverbs. Now, we are taught in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 that Solomon, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. But when we come to the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in the Bible, much is said in relation to young men in this book. Now, last week, we could kind of write over last week that we concentrated on that which might be an issue for young women. Now, I'm not saying that exclusively, so I know these things are applicable to all of us, but there is much pressure in social media, the area of social media in relation to young women. And I guess as we come towards the subject or the topic of computer gaming, although not exclusively again, this may be the spotlight this week might focus more on young men. But as I said again, as I said before, and I say again, this is applicable, totally applicable to all of us. So we all must listen. There are young men and young women growing up, and we desire that they become young men and young, that they become men and women of God. Now, last week, as we thought about social media, We referred to the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 about redeeming the time. How appropriate that is to buy back time. Now, we have wasted time in our lives. I remember, brothers and sisters, when I got saved, I was just 2 months short of my 26th birthday down there in Melbourne. And I went to some ministry meetings the very first week I was saved. They were on the book of Ephesians. And I remember listening to the brother, Norman Mellish, as many of you know, and he ministered. And one of the statements he made in that meeting that night, he said, if the Lord was to come tonight, what have you got to show him for your life, for your Christian life? Now, I had only been saved just a few days, and I didn't understand all the context of that, of course. But I remember driving away from that meeting and literally weeping. And as I went down the street, I can take you to the very place in Stud Road where I was in Melbourne. As I drove down that road and gripped onto the steering wheel, the tears wept down my cheeks as I thought of the years that I'd wasted. And I remember holding onto that steering wheel and saying, I've got to start now. I've got to start now. I've wasted 26 years of my life. And so we thought last week about buying back the time, redeeming the time. We've read this week in Proverbs 23 about buying the truth and selling it not. Now, we know that buying anything will cost us. It will cost you to buy something, and it costs you to buy truth. Buying the truth will not only cost you, but it will preserve you. There are many things we could buy in life, but you spend on obtaining truth. You spend time and energy and resource on obtaining truth, and ultimately that will be from God's word, from God himself. It will preserve you in your Christian life. And I want to start this session with this thought that we need to buy truth. It's going to cost us time. This is going to come into this subject of gaming tonight, because gaming, in the subject of gaming, it is possible to waste time. Now, what I also notice with this verse, buy the truth and sell it not, is not only that it costs us something to buy the truth, but it doesn't say buy the truth and give it away. It says buy the truth and sell it not. What does it mean when you sell something? Well, selling something is based on the principle of exchange. If you sell an item, you receive something for it. You receive something in exchange for that item. Sometimes, of course, in a monetary sense, you can make a profit out of selling something. But if you're selling truth, what you're doing is you're exchanging truth that you have for something else. This again is going to come into the topic tonight, and it is totally applicable to time being wasted on empty pursuits that are engaged in social media and gaming. If I spend my time, if I fritter away my time doing things that bring me no profit, in fact, they actually rob me of something. I am selling the truth. I'm exchanging what I have or what I could have for something that brings me not profit. So we want to look at this in a balanced way, of course, but I just wanted to start the session with that, following on from last week about redeeming the time. Buying the truth and selling it not. It will cost you something to buy the truth. And selling it is exchanging it for something else. Now, could it be that I am exchanging truth for social media or gaming? Now, I just want to bring to you, to your attention, first of all, just a few things that are statistics or facts, secular facts in relation to this subject of gaming. You can go to certain statistical sites and they will give you some of these reports. I got this from the ABC. So this is a secular report, but it tells us that gaming is a business. And it tells us that gaming as a global business is worth approximately $175 billion a year. That is more than Hollywood and the music industry combined. Just stop and think about that. More than Hollywood and the music industry combined. Worth about $175 billion. And games are deliberately designed to extract the maximum amount of time and money. They persuade players to play for advantages or for extra features. And it's part of the gaming business model to draw you in. Now, interestingly, do you remember last week we said in relation to social media that there are certain algorithms related to social media platforms like TikTok and Snapchat and other things like that, that they know what you've been looking at and they can, based on that, they can draw you in with knowing your interests and your preferences, etc. Well, it's exactly the same with gaming. Now, games are deliberately designed with algorithms made to predict or to understand what your preferences are in relation to playing these games, what your color preferences are, what your choice of game may be, what sports you gravitate to. In fact, some games, they actually go to your social media platforms to work out what sports team you support in order to offer you then items in relation to team colors and things that will appeal to you. So we need to be aware, brothers and sisters, that this whole world system is set up to take people away. Take people away ultimately from God and to waste people's time and to take people's money. And 3/4 of all gaming revenue made. I'll stop those statistics, but there are some incredible statistics. The World Health Organization recognized gaming in 2018 as a disease. Sorry, gaming addiction as a disease. And interestingly, 7 out of 10 Australian gamers are now seen as being addicted or having addictive tendencies to gaming. And even the Prime Minister has spoken about it. So we need to be warned about this. Gaming can be addictive and it can rob me of valuable time. Now, I want to bring some balance to all that I say. Not everyone who plays video games is addictive. But I want us to be solemnly reminded that the whole point of these activities, the way they're designed, the way the world is set up, is to draw people in so that you spend time and money. Yesterday in the gospel, we were reminded by Brother Roger Fraser in the Croy Zoom Gospel, that we are hurtling through time at 60 seconds a minute, 1,440 minutes per day. Gone. Another day is gone. I'm going towards eternity. And gaming can take control of my life and my mind and my time so much that I can become obsessed with it. Maybe I'm speaking to someone who knows tonight what it is like and you struggle to walk away or you struggle to put it down. And we spoke about this in relation to social media. If it has that much of a grip on you, you need to let go. And there are various things that we spoke about last week, and there are various that we'll go over some of those things towards the end of the message this week. But Proverbs 21 verse 17 says this, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." Note that down. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Now, what does that mean? What is being spoken there is this, that if you are obsessed, if what you live for is external mirth or external pleasure, you will become a poor man. Now, I want you to think with me as we go through some of these things, and we think of the book of Proverbs. I want you to think about Solomon. He was a man who was obsessed. He ended up being obsessed with wealth and women, and he became poor at the end of his life. You only have to read the book of Ecclesiastes to see how miserable that man was at the end of his life. And it's written for us in the Word of God, Proverbs 21, verse 17, that if we become obsessed with external pleasure, we will become poor people. Fools mock at sin, says Proverbs 14, verse 9. It tells us in the same chapter in verse 13 that even in laughter, their heart is sorrowful, and the end of their external pleasure or the end of their mirth, the same as what we were talking about before, is heaviness. Brothers and sisters, if we become obsessed with entertaining ourselves, obsessed with external pleasure, and we do not go in for that which is inward and that which God concentrates on, that which will bring to our lives benefit, the Word of God, the things of God, the assembly of God, if we go in for external pleasure at the expense of those things, we will be poor in relation to treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. What should a Christian desire? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Listen, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they. Now, I notice that in the Proverbs, idleness is linked to slothfulness. And as I've thought about it over this week, I've thought about how addictiveness or addictive tendencies, particularly in playing computer games, is often linked to the subject of idleness. As humans, we've been designed by God to both work and rest. And God himself displayed that principle in the creation week. You remember, of course. It's displayed for us again in the Garden of Eden before sin ever entered into this world. God wanted mankind to both work and to rest. And the Lord instructed his disciples to come apart and rest a while. So we understand that there is balance needed in the Christian life. Yes, we must work. It's a principle of God, but we must rest and relax. And recreation is a normal part of any person's life. Any Christian person's life. But idleness is different. Idleness in the Proverbs is linked to slothfulness. And while we need rest and relaxation, we are not to be lazy. And I want to speak to myself and to my fellow young people just in relation to this. Now, let me ask myself, is what I term as relaxation, is it taking me away from the necessities of life? Does it encroach onto work that I should be engaged in? Now, I know in our house, and I know that in the houses of many, if not all, on the screens that are before me today, parents set jobs for children to do, for young people. And in our house, we have a roster that's pinned up on the fridge, and we have various jobs that are to be accomplished by different children on each day of the week. And they're mapped out, and you can go to the fridge and see what job you're supposed to be on that day, etc. So as I think about those things, and I understand the principle that God wants me to get used to doing chores and doing work, let me ask myself, is my computer gaming robbing me of accomplishing those tasks? Proverbs 12, verse 11, gives us this principle. Note this one down, young brother and young sister. It says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vanity is void of understanding. Let me explain that. You work with your hands something that is profitable, and you will receive satisfaction from that. This is so applicable in life in general. You know, the Proverbs are just so practical. And I would encourage you again, particularly young people, if you're looking for somewhere to read in the Bible, remember there are 31 days in some of the months at least, but there are 31 Proverbs, and you could read a proverb a day and you will be blessed by this. They're so practical. They give us these practical tips for life's journey. And it tells us there that if we work with our hands and work as God intended us to, we will be satisfied with the outcome. That's no different in spiritual things. You devote yourself to obtaining spiritual truth and you'll be satisfied. But it tells us this in Proverbs 19, verse 15, that slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and the idle soul shall suffer hunger. You know, let me ask myself, is the pursuit I'm engaged in bringing me something in return? Now, at the end of this session, I want to think of some of the pros that might come out of computer gaming. Now, we're thinking largely of the cons at this stage, the negative side, but we're going to think of the positive side before the end of the session. But let me ask myself, is the pursuit that I'm engaged in really bringing me something? Or is it robbing me of precious time? Now, many of you, if not all of you, would know Brother Len Walker. And I remember again when I was a brand new Christian going to a ministry meeting that he had in Bayswater Assembly in Melbourne and listening to him. And he made this little statement there, and it's a statement that I've never forgotten. He said this: when you're thinking of these things, pursuits in life, recreational activities, whatever I may be engaged in life, don't so much ask yourself what's the harm in it, but ask yourself what's the benefit in it, what's the good in it. Now, apply that principle to computer gaming and social media. Ask yourself, what is the benefit in this? Is it benefiting me? You know, I thought of Proverbs 31, verse 27, and this is particularly applicable to mothers. I read another article on the ABC, and this might surprise you, but maybe there is someone on here that needs to hear this. And it was about a mother who got hooked into gaming. And she was playing a particular game called Legend of the Phoenix. COVID had arrived. She was feeling lonely. She couldn't get out as she once did. And so she would put the kids to bed in the evening. And to lift her spirits, and I don't think this was a Christian woman, but we can all be caught up in these things. To lift her spirits, she became immersed in playing this game. And she lost time of track and money. Now, there was a catch with this, and I want to warn you young people against this. There was a catch with this. She had to pay to use this game, but the computer game that she was engaged in, that she was playing in, it used a currency called ingots. Now, you paid with your credit card, let me tell you. But what you bought on the screen was what was called ingots. You paid with these ingots. So there was deception here. She was using real money, or turning real money into virtual money. And you know, she played this game for a long time, and she decided at one point to start to work out how much she was actually spending on this. She got her notepad out and wrote down the amount of ingots that she had spent and looked at it in relation to dollars. Do you know how much she had spent? $4,000. And in the article, she said, "I felt sick. I didn't know how to tell my husband. I was spending the family's money." Now, this was a normal woman, a mother, a wife, sucked into the world of computer gaming. Listen to Proverbs 31, verse 27 for mothers. It says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness." Dear brother, dear sister, let us remember that idleness and slothfulness, they go together. Peter teaches us in his second epistle that the serious Christian will be diligent to add those seven ingredients into his or her life. Look at that in your own time. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 5, between verses 5 and 8. And it tells us that virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love are the ingredients that we should diligently add to our Christian lives. And then he says this, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should be neither barren. The word is idle. You will not be a lazy Christian if you're adding these things, spending time adding these things into your life. You know, there should be no lazy Christians. There's plenty to do to keep us occupied in the things of the Lord. Plenty of people to speak to. You could use social media for that. Get in touch with a fellow Christian. Spend time encouraging them. Look up a Bible verse that you could send to somebody else. Something else that came up in the responses that I had in relation to computer gaming was the fact that they have a negative effect with antisocial behavior or anger. Now, I understand that sometimes gamers will refuse to talk, that they get so into the throes of playing the game that they can't talk to anyone. And at times, there's outbursts of anger if they're interrupted. And social skills can decline. And people can become afraid to talk to the gamer because they don't want to cause this outburst of anger. Now, if that's happening to you, young person, or if that is what's happening in your house, something has to change. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. It's not necessarily a sin to be angry. Anger is a very real emotion. And we are taught that God is angry at certain times. The Lord Jesus displayed sinless anger. But if you're getting angry and there's outbursts of even sometimes violent anger in relation to you playing a computer game, there's something gravely wrong. And that needs to change. And this can sometimes come about by certain games being designed to be high pressure. Be aware of that. I understand that there's a popular game called Call of Duty. And you have to increase on the levels of the game, and the further you go up, the higher the pressure becomes, but the higher the reward is, apparently, reward from the game, of course. But if there's outbursts of anger in relation to this, my brother, my sister, there's no spiritual reward in that. I would encourage you to channel your energies into something that will bring back benefit to you. I understand that there is a popular phrase called rage quit, people quitting in anger because they've either lost or got to some, they've been interrupted or something. Listen to Proverbs 22, verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. You know, this is popular in our house, so I'm speaking to our house, if none others at the moment. I don't know whether you've ever heard of a YouTube, not platform, whatever it's called. It's called Dude Perfect. And it's young men that accomplish feats that are quite skillful and quite amazing at times. And I know it's popular, it's a popular thing in our house. And they're actually professing Christians, as far as I know, but I couldn't be sure of that. But there is something with Dude Perfect that I don't like. At points in Dude Perfect, they have this acting out thing called Rage Monster, where they will kind of obliterate anything in sight because they didn't, you know, make the grade on what the skill that they were trying to achieve or the feat that they were trying. And it's all done in a lighthearted kind of humorous way. But brothers and sisters, I'm reminded of a verse that we thought of last week, that we should not laugh at sin. We should not make light of sin. And we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's something that I know that I've talked to my boys about and I've talked to my wife about, that I don't think we should laugh at Rage Monster. Or this is a reality in some people's lives, and it's sinful and it's inappropriate. There are other things in relation to computer gaming. Some games are rated at 15 plus, and they include violence and inappropriate themes and sexually explicit material, coarse language. Brothers and sisters, that should be never played by a Christian. Please, I remind you again of the word of God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, I want for a few minutes just to come to the side of parents. And I want to speak now primarily to parents and to young people, but I have received in my responses, I send out requests each week to young people and to responses and to parents. And you know who you are on the screen today. You've received a question from me, and I ask you about what your struggles are and what the issues are, and give me some understanding of what's going on in the world of these platforms. And so I've received some perspective from parents, and I want to talk about that for a moment. As parents, we need perspective in relation to recreational pursuits of our children. And I know that some parents have come back to me and have said that they allow their children certain computer games in a balanced environment and in a balanced manner. Games, of course, that are not going to be sinful, etc. And I think that's what we need as parents. We need perspective. But we need communication with our children. That is essential. Now, we also need to not only have perspective in relation to our families, but perspective in relation to each other. And I would encourage you as a fellow parent, never put down other parents in front of your children for the differences that they might have in their families in relation to standards that they have set for their children, etc. Now, sin is sin, and sin should never be tolerated. But let us not look down our noses as fellow parents at differences that another set of parents might have in relation to the rearing of their children, and it especially in relation to this subject of computer games. That is important. Now, personally, and I'm going to just put this out there, personally, we have never given our children computer games. We decided, even before our children were born, and we talked about it as our children were born and started to grow up, that we particularly didn't want to give our children computer games. That was a decision we made in our house. And what we wanted to do was speak to our children about that and explain to our children why that was our choice and provide a substitute for our children. The Bible speaks about this, about fathers not provoking the children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And our desire was to give some substitute in relation to computer games, so that there is perspective and there is balance in our lives as parents and as children. So let us bear that in mind with one another. There are different standards that different families have. We are not to look down on each other. I know that this question came up last week or the week before in relation to, so it might have been last week in relation to social media. What happens when you feel like you're the odd one out in relation to the fact that others have it and you don't? Well, fellow young people, don't ever leave people out because the standard might be different in another house to yours. Or be respectful when you invite children into your house in relation to standards that fellow parents might have. Or let the bottom line is this, brothers and sisters, we're all trying to raise our children for the Lord. Sin is sin, and it should never be tolerated. But let us be respectful of one another in the process. Children, be respectful to your parents. I just want to go on to that just for a moment. You know, in the Proverbs, if you open the book of Proverbs chapter 1, and I would encourage you to do this, young person, the Proverbs begins in verse 7. That's how early in the Proverbs it begins, with the exhortation of the young person, the child, to heed the instruction of God-fearing parents. It says this in verse 8, rather, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. But linked to that in the previous verse is the fear of the Lord. And I would suggest, young people, and all of us included, that the fear of the Lord will be the foundation for respecting our parents and honoring our parents. Ephesians, we are taught in Ephesians to honor our father and our mother, to obey our parents in the Lord, and to honor our father and our mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You prize your parents. It's a very difficult thing raising children, as any parent will tell you. Those of us who are in the middle of it, we feel it keenly. And we need you older generation to pray for us and help us, give us instruction. And we need to take it. But notice that the Proverbs, it links those two things, the fear of the Lord and listening to the instruction of your father and your mother in a godly sense. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? It's a biblically based understanding of who God is. It's not viewing God in a humanistic way because I've become focused on one specific attribute of God and I get things out of kilter. But the fear of God will produce in me awe for him, an obedience to him, and a desire for him, and a reverence towards him, and a reality. It won't be just this outward conformity to regulations, but an inward, true desire to obey the Lord. And when you have that, truthfully, you will desire to obey your parents in the Lord. And so remember that, young people. Perspective is needed. Have a public place in relation to gaming. Some people have it in the main living area. Again, we have. I spoke to you about this last week. We have a principle in our house of not taking screens into bedrooms, using them in private places. We just like to try and keep things out in the open. I know other parents don't allow online gaming, and I would encourage you in relation to that. Parameters and parental control. What goes on in the house should be known to parents. So young people, be honest with dad and mum as to what you're doing and what you're playing. I know that particularly one of our sons, he is into an online platform which is in relation to geography quizzes. And it's a good thing just to keep all of these things out in the open. Let dad and mum know what you're doing. And parents, we need communication with our children. I know others have a weekly allowance chart or no screens before school. That's one of the principles in our house too. Screen-free days. Recently, we went for a screen-free week. And we found that, yes, it's difficult at times, but there is some benefit to it, to get out and get active. But brothers and sisters, parents and young people, let us work together. Some of the pros, finally, I've gone over the time just a few minutes, but I I want to think of some of the pros. There can be the enhancement of fine motor skills. I know that the Wii game, maybe that's out of fashion now, but the playing of the Wii and football games and car driving and things like that, that can enhance fine motor skills. Some games can be educational. Some can be an icebreaker to get to know others, relating to friends during lockdown and things like that. But let us remember, when we look at it across the board, ask myself, what's the benefit in it? Now I'm going to pray.